Copyright 2011 JKP Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved. Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the US ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he gives an in-depth description of the different kinds of bhakti, the stages a devotee progresses through on the path of bhakti, and the ultimate goal, the divine bhakti. These speeches are based on the descriptions by Rup Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as explained by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj.
Boliye Ladli Lal Ki. In this series on bhakti, I explained to you that we have to do sadhana bhakti. That means attaching our mind to God. By doing sadhana bhakti, we will enter into bhav bhakti at a certain stage of heart purification, and eventually when our heart is fully purified, we will receive prema bhakti through the grace of a God-realized rasik saint. So we're looking in detail at sadhana bhakti because that is where we have to begin. So we have to understand how to do it. So we discussed that although there are thousands of ways to do bhakti, saints have emphasized 9 main forms. And out of those 9 main, 3 are prime: Shravan, Kirtan, and Smaran. And out of those 3, Smaran is the only one which cannot be done without. Whatever form of bhakti we're doing outwardly, we must be doing Smaran inwardly. Smaran meaning loving remembrance of Radha and Krishna. So this practice of sadhana bhakti, done with smaran plus any other kind, but mainly smaran plus kirtan or smaran plus shravan, this can again be divided into 2 styles of doing sadhana bhakti. One is called vaidhi bhakti and one is called raganuga bhakti. So you're all familiar with this term raganuga bhakti, but what does it mean in relation to vaidhi bhakti? So in both, you're doing smaran, you're doing kirtan, you're doing shravan, you have the option of doing any other kind. So what's the difference? There are a few differences, but the main one is that in vaidhi bhakti, it means you're worshipping God according to all the do's and don'ts of the Vedas, which put certain restrictions on how you can worship, when you can worship, where you can worship, many kinds of rules. So worshipping God, doing sadhana bhakti according to all these do's and don'ts, called vidhi nishedh. That's where vaidhi comes from. According to vidhi, which means rules. According to those vidhi, if you do bhakti, that's called vaidhi bhakti. And in raganuga bhakti, we just do bhakti, and we don't worry about those do's and don'ts of the Vedas. Another difference is in the motivation behind it. Why does someone who's doing vaidhi bhakti start worshipping God? The motivation is out of fear. Fear of what? Well, if I don't worship God, I'll be reborn. I'll be reborn anywhere in this world, could be in the lower species. I'll have to suffer according to the bad actions that I've done. I may even have to go to Narak. I don't want any of that, so I'm going to worship God. So out of a desire to avoid such suffering, or out of a desire to get liberation, someone starts doing vaidhi bhakti. Whereas on the path of raganuga bhakti, your motivation is not fear, your motivation is love. I want to be with Radha Krishna. I want to love them. I want to experience their love. I want to serve them. I want to be part of their leelas. That's the motivation on the path of raganuga bhakti. On the path of vaidhi bhakti, the devotee is always conscious of God's almighty greatness. It's called Aishwarya Chintan. Anytime he's worshiping God, he's thinking, God is great. God has these powers. I'm just a small soul, like Shant Bhav. I'll talk about that in a little more detail shortly. But it means God is almighty, and I'm just a small soul. And I have to worship him according to all of these rules. Otherwise, instead of being rewarded, I'll be punished. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. And Raganuga Bhakti is, I just love him, so it's natural. I worship him because I love him. A good way to understand the difference would be if you think of a servant who's paid to cook for a family, for his master, his employer. So why does he do a good job cooking? Because he's afraid of getting fired. He doesn't love his master. He gets paid by him, he gets a reward for doing a good job cooking, and he knows if he makes any mistake, he may be fired. So he's very careful not to make any mistakes, and he makes the food so it tastes great. Now let's say that same person's mother is cooking for him. The mother is not afraid of getting scolded by her son. She's not cooking out of fear, she's cooking out of love. Oh, if I don't cook, he won't eat properly. I have to make sure he gets enough vitamins and protein and calories. So out of love, she's doing just as good a job as the servant is, but the motivation is different. So it's like this with Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Worshipping God because we're motivated that I don't want to suffer anymore in this world. And when I worship him, I have to obey all of these rules and formalities, otherwise I'll be punished. Whereas in Raganuga Bhakti, you don't pay any attention to those do's and don'ts. You just love Radha and Krishna. Of course, that servant, given time, may begin to love his master, then he may make that transition from cooking out of fear to cooking out of love. So someone who's doing Vaidhi Bhakti may graduate to Raganuga Bhakti. It's certainly possible. But following Vaidhi Bhakti is actually very difficult. There are 64 different types of formalities and rules that have to be observed in Vaidhi Bhakti. In Kaliyug, it's not even possible to understand what all of these are. You have to study Sanskrit, then study the scriptures, learn all these do's and don'ts, and then try to follow them. It's impossible in Kaliyug. That's why Tulsidas Ji writes in the Ramayana, Kali nahi karma na bhagati viveku. Bhakti viveku means Vaidhi Bhakti. And karma means, see, Vaidhi Bhakti and karma, the path of karma, are basically parallel to each other. On the path of karma, you're also following all those do's and don'ts of the Vedas and observing many ritual formalities. So doing that karma plus bhakti from inside, that's Vaidhi Bhakti. So Tulsidas Ji says, that's impossible in Kali Yuga. You can't even know what all the rules are, let alone follow all of them. But in Raganuga Bhakti, there's only two rules. One vidhi, one do, and one nished, one don't. Smartavyo satatam Vishnur vismartavyo na jatu chit. Padma Puran says, what is the vidhi? You have to constantly remember Radha and Krishna. Do continuous smaran of Radha Krishna. That is the do. And what is the don't? Never forget them, even for a second. That's it. So Veda Vyasji says that if you follow these two, this vidhi and this nishedh, then you've already followed all the other vidhi and nishedh of the Vedas. They're all included in these two. If you're doing smaran of God, if you're doing smaran of Radha and Krishna, you've already done you've followed all the other rules automatically. Because all of those other rules are just to get you to the point where you're doing what? doing Smarana of Radha and Krishna. So if you're doing that, then you don't worry about the other ones. That's prime. If you're lovingly remembering Radha and Krishna, and then you disturb your remembrance to question, oh, did I follow that rule properly? Did I follow that rule properly? It means you're putting the other rules above the real rule, which is never forget them. So that's why if you're doing smarana of them, all the other rules are tossed out. This is Raganuga Bhakti. In Vaidhi Bhakti, there are so many rules to follow and very strict rules. Sri Maharaji says, when he mentioned this, he was in Mangar. And in Mangar, there's a special rug that goes down the middle of the hall. So the men's side is one side, the ladies' side is one side. And the rug where Sri Maharaji walks up and down goes down the middle, and then there's one across the front as well. So he says, I see you all trying to jump over that. Why? Because my feet have touched on that. So he says, this is not Raganuga Bhakti. That would be in Vaidhi Bhakti. He says, my feet don't just go on that rug. There's not an inch of this whole prayer hall where I haven't walked. So where can you put your feet? And according to the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, Sira Bala Chalon Dharma Asamora Sabte Sevak Dharma Kathora. Bharatji says, the dharma of a sevak is to put his head wherever his swami's feet have touched. So how are we going to observe such rules and try to worship Radha and Krishna? It's beyond anyone's ability. Sri Maharaji tells a story from 1955 when he organized a big conference in Chitrakoot and invited great scholars and saints and mahatmas from all over India to come there and speak on certain topics. So since Sri Maharaji was the host, he used to go around every day and call on all of those invited guests and see, you know, do you need anything? Is there anything inconveniencing you? Anything I can do for you? So he went to this one Mahatma who was the next in line to become Jagadguru of the ashram where he was staying. So Maharaji sat and he had to sit and wait for about 15 minutes for this Jagadguru to come out and meet with him. So he said while he was sitting there, you know, waiting, he said just inadvertently, without even thinking of it, his foot came up like that and he was just sitting casually like that. So one of the disciples of that Jagadguru, this was before Maharaji was Jagadguru, 2 years before. So he came out and he said, oh, Paramahansji. Back in those days, they used to refer to Maharaji as Paramahansji because he was often absorbed in divine love, in samadhi. So, oh, Paramahansji, please put your foot down. Maharaji said, what? Put your foot down. Jagadguruji is coming. Maharaji said, what's wrong? He said, you can't sit like that in front of him. Maharaji said, see, so many rules in Vaidhi Bhakti. How can you walk around your guru? How can you sit around your guru? All of these different rules. None of that applies in Raganuga Bhakti. I know none of us are going to actually do this, but Maharaji goes to the point of saying in Raganuga Bhakti, if you want to put your feet on your guru's head, go ahead. As long as your feelings are in the right place, there is no such rules. So, Vaidhi Bhakti is so difficult to follow for one thing, and then for another thing, if you follow Vaidhi Bhakti, you don't gain entrance to Braj. You don't gain entrance to Golok, Vrindavan, because you're worshiping God with those feelings of almightiness. Meaning, like, he's my king, and I'm his subject. This is called Shant Bhav. So those who worship God with Shant Bhav, they can go as far as Dwarika Abode of Sri Krishna, where there's still a mixture of almightiness with his lovingness, but they can't reach Golok or Vrindavan. So think about it, after all of that effort to follow all of those rules, and you can't even reach as high an attainment as you can if you follow Raganuga Bhakti. Sri Maharaj Ji tells another story where one time the queens of Dwarika were wondering why Krishna praises the gopis so much, even in their presence. And they were thinking, we're matchless in every way, in terms of beauty, in terms of how we serve Krishna. All of our skills are beyond compare. Why are the gopis being praised so much? So Krishna, to teach them a lesson, he started saying that, oh, my heart is, I'm getting so much pain in my heart. I don't know, I feel like I'm going to die. So all of the queens just didn't know what to do. They were running around trying to find some way to make Krishna feel better. One was fanning him, trying to offer him some water, trying to in some way soothe his pain. And Krishna's writhing and moaning. So just then Naradji happens to come. And he sees from a distance what's happening, and Maharaj Ji says that, he says, oh, here I was just coming to have darshan of Krishna, and now what is this acting going on? I have been tricked by him several times before. He's given me a monkey face one time, another time he made me completely lost in his maya for I don't know how long. So I'm just going to watch from a distance. I don't want to get involved with this. So Krishna noticed him, and he was trying to signal him that, Naradji, come, say something. You know, ask me what's wrong. He was trying to indicate like that. Naradji was trying to stay out of it, but in the end he said, okay, my lord, what's wrong? Please tell me. And while you're at it, please tell me how to cure your disease as well. Because when you're the one who brought on whatever it is that's happening, you're the only one who can tell us how to cure you. So Sri Krishna said, Naradji, I just feel like this pain, I'm going to die. So how can I help? Krishna said, if any devotee gives me the dust of his feet, then I'll be better. So Naradji said, well, I'm his devotee. No, who knows what he's up to? I'm not giving him my foot dust. But all of these queens, 16,108 queens, they're all his devotees, great saints. I'll ask them. So he went to all of those queens, the leader of them being Rukminiji, and told them what Krishna had said. And they said, Naradji, are you in your right mind? Do you know what a transgression that is for a devotee to give his foot dust to his beloved God? No, we're not going to do that. Who knows what Narak we'll have to go to suffer because of that? Who knows what kind of a bad name we'll get in the history? People will remember that Krishna's queens gave him their foot dust? No, we can't do that. So Narad went everywhere asking all the saints he could find to give foot dust. No one would agree to. So in the end, he came back to Krishna and he said, well, now you're going to also have to tell me this part. Where can I find such a saint who's willing to give you his foot dust? So Sri Krishna said, oh, that's simple. Just go to Braj. The gopis are there. So Naradji went to Braj. And when the gopis asked, oh, Naradji, what's happening? How is our beloved Krishna? He said, not well. What? The gopis were all stunned. Oh, what's happening, Narad? Well, he's in tremendous pain, and he says the only thing that can cure him is the foot dust of his devotees. So all of the gopis immediately exposed their feet and said, Narad, quickly take this and go. Take some foot dust and go. So Narad was stunned that, aren't you afraid of being punished for violating such a rule that a devotee could never touch his feet to God, let alone give his foot dust? They said, none of that matters to us. All that matters is that Krishna should be better. We can go to Narak. We've been there uncountable times before. What's one more time? As long as Krishna's suffering is put to an end, he should be happy. So Naradji collected some foot dust, and he was so impressed with the gopis that he first took some for himself, then he brought it to Krishna. And those queens were stunned that who was willing to give you foot dust, Naradji? And they found out it was the gopis. Then they were all humbled that, you know, Krishna is giving them viraha in Braj, and he's with us here in Dwarika. But look at the height of their devotion compared to ours. So this is the difference between Raganuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti. In Vaidhi Bhakti, that fear is there. In Raganuga Bhakti, love overshadows everything. There's no rule that takes priority over the love. Loving Krishna for his happiness takes priority over everything. Rup Goswami has summed up the difference between Raganuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti very nicely in one verse of his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. He says, Sarva bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. There are three main conditions of Raganuga Bhakti. The first one being, no other desire except for the desire for Krishna's happiness. That's it. In Vaidhi Bhakti, the desire to avoid suffering is there. The desire to get liberation is there. The desire to enjoy the opulence of God's divine abode in Vaikunth, that desire is there. But in Raganuga Bhakti, Rup Goswami says, no such desires are even allowed. The same thing is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Ahaitukya pratihata. Bhagavatam says one condition of bhakti is you must be ahaituki. No selfish desire. So we're still allowed to desire. We're allowed one desire. The desire for Krishna's happiness. What about our happiness? We can't stop desiring for our happiness. It's unnatural. Being that we are Ansh of Krishna, who is Anand, we automatically desire for Anand. So it's our nature to desire happiness. No one can stop that desire. So in what way do we desire for happiness? We desire to be happy seeing Krishna happy. In serving him, in finding a way to please him or make him happy, we feel happy. And more happy than we would be if we got a selfish kind of happiness. This is Raganuga Bhakti, whereas Vaidhi Bhakti has more selfish desires. Number two, Jnana Karmadhya Navritam. Bhagavatam says, Apratihata. And Naradji says, Loka Veda Vyaparanyasaha. In other words, there should be no affiliation of karma, yoga, jnana, or any other practice. Bhakti should stand alone in Raganuga Bhakti. In Vaidhi Bhakti, they're allowed to be affiliated. They're subservient to bhakti, they're secondary to bhakti, but the laws of karma are there. Some practice of yoga or jnana could be along with that. But in Raganuga Bhakti, that is viewed as a distraction. As I said, for example, let's say someone wants to do Raganuga Bhakti. They want to love Radha and Krishna. How would the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti interfere? Well, there are rules like, before you do any kind of worship, you yourself have to be properly cleaned. Otherwise, you can't worship them. This is in Vaidhi Bhakti. There are certain times of day where you're supposed to worship. On certain days, you're supposed to fast. You're not allowed to eat certain things. You're only allowed to eat certain things. You're supposed to be dressed in a certain way, facing a certain way. You're supposed to have certain things to offer. If you don't have those proper things, then you can't do your worship. So now, those are not only rules, they become obstacles and distractions. You just want to sit and lovingly remember Radha and Krishna, but then you're thinking, oh, but do I have this thing? Do I have that thing? Is it the right time of day? Am I dressed properly? Am I facing the right way? So in Raganuga Bhakti, all of that is thrown out. No karma, no gyan, no yoga, no touch of anything. Maharaji says, phenk do bahar. Get rid of it completely. Then sit to do Raganuga Bhakti. The philosophy of the Gita is Vaidhi Bhakti. See, in the Gita, Krishna is almighty. He shows his almighty form to Arjuna, and he teaches him Vaidhi Bhakti in the Gita. There are rules associated with the Bhakti taught in the Gita. But the philosophy of the Bhagavatam is Raganuga Bhakti. Bhagavatam says, Dharman santyajya sarvan mam bhajet sacha sattama. Krishna says, the one who throws out all the other rules and practices and formalities and just loves me, that's the best kind of devotee. Krishna's own words. There's one question that some people have about the rina. Rina means a debt. Some scriptures say we have three debts. Some say we have four. Some say we have five, which have to be paid to the rishis, to the celestial gods, to the other beings of this earth planet, to our ancestors, to the other human beings. These are the five kinds of debts that a person is supposed to pay before they leave this earth planet. So, for instance, to pay the debt to your ancestors, you're supposed to raise a family and, you know, pass on their name. To fulfill your debt to the celestial gods, you're supposed to observe certain rituals of the Vedas, like yajna. That pleases the celestial gods. There are different ways to free yourself or pay off these different rina. So these are rules that are part of karma, part of the path of karma. Some people try to do bhakti and take care of these rina as well. That becomes vaidhi bhakti. So there's a fear that if I don't pay these debts, I'll be punished in my next life, which is true unless you're practicing bhakti. If you're practicing bhakti, Veda Vyasji writes in the Bhagavatam, Devarshi bhutapta nrinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam rini charajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam Gato mukundam parihritya kartam. If you're practicing bhakti, you're allowed to throw out all of those rin. You've already covered all of those bases if you're doing bhakti. You've already pleased the celestial gods. You've already pleased your ancestors. You've already pleased all the beings of the whole earth planet just by doing bhakti to Radha and Krishna. So the one who's doing that kind of bhakti, he's freed automatically from those rina, and he will not be punished because he didn't, you know, individually go and try to satisfy each of those debts. He's all automatically fulfilled all of those debts just by practicing Raganuga Bhakti. So in Vaidhi Bhakti, you still worry about that. In Raganuga Bhakti, you forget it totally. Na king karo. You're not a servant to those rules anymore. Those rules are a servant to bhakti. So this is the second condition or second feature of Raganuga Bhakti. The first is that you only have one desire, the desire for Krishna's happiness. The second is no affiliation of any other kind of practice or formality. And the third is anukulyena krishnanushilanam. Love Krishna with a positive feeling of attachment with a relationship. What relationship? Four options: dasya bhav, sakhya bhav, vatsalya bhav, madhurya bhav. There's a fifth relationship, shant bhav, but that's for vaidhi bhakti. If you're thinking of Krishna as being almighty God, that's vaidhi bhakti. So that's also called shant bhav. Your feelings for him are such that you feel like he's a king and you're just a subject in his kingdom. So leaving that one aside, because that's for vaidhi bhakti, and if you worship in that way, you don't gain entrance to Braj, you don't gain entrance to Vrindavan. Leaving that one aside, we're left with four bhav in the Raganuga bhakti. So dasya bhav means loving Krishna as your master and you're his servant. So that's a much closer relationship than subject to king. Now you get to directly serve him and have his association. But closer than that is sakhyabhav. Sakhyabhav, that means now you're equal. You're friends. You're best friends. So friends don't consider one to be higher or one to be lower. Friends are equals. So when you love Krishna with sakhyabhav, you do so feeling that we're the same. He's just like me. The one doing vaidhi bhakti would be afraid. No, no, no. I can't think that of God. I'm not equal to God. It's fine. God is still God and you're still a soul. You just forget about that. You love him so much as a friend, you forget about his almighty dignity. And he gives you permission to do that. In fact, he wants you to do that. He says, you love me as a friend and I will become your friend. So sakhyabhav includes the feelings and the bliss of dasyabhav, which includes the feelings and the bliss of shantbhav. So both shant and dasyabhav are included in sakhyabhav. And all three are included in the next one, vatsalyabhav. Here in vatsalyabhav, you love Krishna as your own son, which means now he's lower than you and you're higher. You're his mother, he's your child. Imagine, someone doing vaidhi bhakti would never consider doing that. But in raganuga bhakti, we're given freedom to love Krishna in this way. And then beyond that is madhuryabhav, loving Krishna as your beloved, which includes all of the other four within it. Or if we're just talking about Raganuga Bhakti, then it includes the other three. Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya are included in Madhurya Bhav. So that is the highest form, the highest love of Krishna is the love of the gopis. Their love includes all the other ways that all different saints love Krishna. It's all incorporated into the gopis' love for Krishna. And their love is perfectly selfless. They desire only Krishna's happiness. So this is Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means bhakti which is done, the same sadhana bhakti, shravan, kirtan, smaran, but done with only the desire for Krishna's happiness. Tat sukha sukhitvam, number one. Number two, no affiliation of any rules, although we still have to follow some disciplines. It doesn't mean that it's a free-for-all in Raganuga Bhakti. You still have to be disciplined in terms of eating habits, sleeping habits, doing devotion. So there's some discipline that has to be maintained. But in terms of the style of your worship, there's no rule. Just those two rules. Remember Radha Krishna, don't ever forget them. But in terms of how you lead your life, there's a certain amount of discipline that has to be maintained. The more we discipline our outer behavior, the more our mind will be under control and the more we can attach it to Radha and Krishna. Sri Maharaj Ji says there's a certain point of evolution on the path where you actually transcend the need to even observe any kind of physical discipline in your life, but none of us are at that point, so let's not worry about that right now. But in terms of the rules of how to worship, there are no such rules in Raganuga Bhakti and no affiliation of any other kind of practice. Just pure love for Radha Krishna. And number three, how to love them? With one of those four bhav, dasya, sakhya, vatsalya, or madhurya. So if someone practices sadhana bhakti in this way, remembering that Rup Dhyan is first and foremost, and then along with that, adding in kirtan and doing some shravan sometimes, and practicing that every day in Raganuga style of bhakti, eventually your mind starts to get attached to Radha and Krishna, which means now you're entering the stage of bhav bhakti. And Rup Goswami says, if you want to know whether you're in bhav bhakti or not, well, there are 9 signs, 9 different symptoms of bhav bhakti which manifest internally, which you can observe in your own self. So what are those 9 signs so that we can know where we are along the path? We'll take this topic up tomorrow. And today we'll finish with a kirtan, Jo Piya Ruchi Maharuchi Rakhe. In this kirtan, Maharaji has summarized the main points of Raganuga Bhakti.
Jo Piya Ruchi Maharuchi Rakhe Prema Ras Soi chakhe re jo piya ruchi maha ruchi rakhe prem ras soi chakhe re jo piya ruchi Maharuchi rakhe prema ras soi chakhe re jo piya ruchi Maharuchi rakhe prema ras soi chakhe re jehi karma na ne kahu bhave re jehi gyana nahi suhave re jehi karma jehi gyan ho nahi suhave re jehi karma na ne kahu bhave re jehi gyan ho nahi suhave re jehi karma na ne kahu bhave re jehi gyan ho nahi suhave re Yoga duri kari rakhe prema ras soi chakhe re Guri Kari Rakhe Prema Ras Soi Chakhire
मैं चारी हूँ भाव
samaveri. जो मधुर भाव अपनावे रे या मैं चारी हूँ भाव समावे रे
जो मधुर भाव अपनावे रे या मैं चारी हूँ भाव समावे रे
जो निज सुख उर नहीं राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जो निज सुख उर नहीं राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जो निज सुख उर नहीं राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जो निज सुख उर नहीं राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जो पिय रुचि महारुचि राखे सोई चाखे रे
जो पिय रुचि महारुचि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जो पिय रुचि महारुचि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जो पिय रुचि महारुचि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे
जेहि हरि हरि जनहि भावे रे कहूँ अनत नटुक मन लावे रे
जेहि हरि हरि जनहि भावे रे कहूँ अनत नटुक मन लावे रे
जेहि हरि हरि जन ही भावे रे कहूँ अनत नटुक मन लावे रे
जेहि हरि हरि जन ही भावे रे कहूँ अनत नटुक मन लावे रे
जो उर कृपालु
देखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे कृपालु हरि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे जोर कृपालु हरि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे रुचि महारुचि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे जो प्रिय रुचि महारुचि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे 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 गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे 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 गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे 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 गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे 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 गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे 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 गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री राधे राधे गोविंद राधे श्री Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe 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 Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe 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 Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe 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 Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe 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 Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Govind Radhe प्रिय रुचि महारुचि राखे प्रेम रस सोई चाखे रे जो प्रिय रुचि महारुचि राखे
मुली वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की
जय।